Good morning and welcome to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah, my co-host, and I are wondering what are we going to be talking about, but I guess there are so many things going on, even here in my in our backyard at USF and in Tampa with students trying to practice their freedom of speech and the Bill of Rights and, you know, guaranteed by the Constitution, but obviously the police have a different point of view. I'm hoping that I will be joined by my co-host because he has been covering a lot of stories going on. So listen to this music. We're going to be taking your phone calls. I have two students that one of them is at Georgetown University that should be joining us any minute. So there are no guarantees. And there is a young girl who will be joining us at 12:30. Again, no guarantees. If you have any comment about what is going on in the U.S. schools and universities and Ivy Leagues and the 80-some universities where students are expressing their anger with genocide, you can always go to dj at wmnf.org, dj at wmnf.org. Send us your comments or questions, and then you can call 813-239-9663, but at this moment, listen to this music from Iraq. This is True Talk on WMNF. Back to True Talk. Ahmed, are you there? DJ Computer. Ahmed?
Yes, I'm here somewhere.
Good to have you on the, your own show, Ahmed. I can't believe what is going on. I know that you yesterday were talking about what is happening all across the USA and actually also in Europe and some Arab countries. Students went to exercise their right to express their anger with the 7 months of killing and genocide that is going on in Gaza, and asking for ceasefire and asking actually really they it started off by wanting to divest from companies that they believe are involved in the killing machine. And then at USF, there was an event of students going and doing the same thing. And unfortunately, the police used tear gas. And then yesterday, Ahmed, I think you and a lot of people were part of another event. Can you tell us a little about it?
I think there was a a march yesterday. There was a protest or rally, and the march that was organized by students who called on the community to come and support them in their constitutional right to assemble and to protest and for their free speech. And they, because of what happened the day before on the campus of USF, where they met with this brute force and overwhelming force, so it seemed like law enforcement was, you know, it was like a military operation happening. And these are, you know, students, they're kids on the campus sitting on the lawn protesting what they see as a genocide. And college campuses have been known for protests throughout. It's like a tradition in America. And they were shocked that they were, you know, attacked with tear gas, what they call chemical munitions. As well as, I was surprised yesterday to hear that that they also used rubber bullets. That's what the students said on them. Now, of course, there were people that sustained some injuries, and they removed them, many arrests, and people were removed off the area. Ironically, it's called Martin Luther King Plaza. Martin Luther King, of course, known for his sit-ins and protests, and these students are following the same tradition. So there was a protest yesterday in Temple Terrace, and then there was a march from Temple Terrace all the way to the campus, USF campus, and right back to the same plaza. So the students were celebrating that that they were able to take, you know, overtake the plaza once again, and they came back. That the fear, that the events of the day before did not scare them away, and that they will keep returning back as long as the genocide is going on in Gaza. And this is, as you know, as you mentioned, it's happening all over the country. There are now some 60, 70, or 80, I lost count of how many, encampments, campus encampments, these sit-ins that are happening across the country at universities. Now, you know, they're numbering in the 60s, 70s, or 80s. Every day there's a new one that's being launched. And the more force that law enforcement is using to silence the students, it's actually motivating and creating this momentum and this movement to establish more of these encampments. So that's what's happening in USF. And I think out of all the encampments around the country, USF and UF, like the ones in Florida, are one of the very few that actually use tear gas, which, by the way, is actually banned in many countries.
So why in Florida all this brutality when it comes to young people exercising their constitutional right to express themselves in a very peaceful way? I'm not sure any of them was unpeaceful.
No, there was no man, there was no one to be unpeaceful with. I mean, they were just doing a sit-in. They weren't doing anything else. And they were met with this force. I mean, Florida is becoming known as a place that doesn't tolerate certain type of speech. And in fact, the governor of the state of Florida, DeSantis, had attempted before to limit freedom of speech and certain protests. So, you know, there are people commenting online and in other places saying that these students in Florida are very brave because this is not a state that welcomes free speech. In fact, as we're doing this call right now, I mean, this the show right now, there's actually a press conference being hosted by the local chapter of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and they're coming together to denounce the crackdown on free speech and on these students. At the end of the day, these are students, and taking over and doing sit-ins and protests, something so common and in the tradition, it's an American tradition to do, to protest on these college campuses. And, you know, again, the irony in a lot of this, especially in the past, we've heard from Republicans that are trying to denounce that these campuses are a place where they don't allow certain speech to happen, especially from the right, when they were protesting, you know, groups that are on the right side or right-wing groups. And even in the state of Texas, where Governor Abbott had previously said that he signed into law, to protect the rights of students to protest, this same governor, used overwhelming force and sent in state law enforcement officials to, use violence on these students and arrest them and beat them in a bad way for those that were not going along. And again, people were pointing out the hypocrisy. On one hand, you're saying you support free speech, but when it comes to Palestine, or if students want to protest against Israel, Ahmed, then there's an exception.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, Ahmed, but I have Samar Saeed, who is a PhD candidate. She is at Georgetown University at the moment, and I think there are things going on. Samar, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi, Samar.
Hi, good to see you. Your name is like my name. You are a PhD candidate in Georgetown. Can you tell us what is going on there?
Yes, so basically I'm in the encampment, which is held at George Washington University. So the encampment here basically includes students from all around the DMV area. So a lot of students are here now, but we also have faculty with us today, a big number of them, because there's apparently a counter-protest that has been organized yesterday, and we are basically all on alert as to how that counter-protest is going to unfold, because you don't want them basically to come to our encampment or to clash with us or the protesters here. So we've been on the streets for the past 2 hours, and so far there's a lot of police presence all around the neighborhood, so we haven't seen them. But given what happened in UCLA and other places, we're really not sure. We're just being careful, and we're trying to protect the students on the ground.
So you're not one of the organizers or participants. You are a PhD student, and you and the staff and faculty members came just to be like observing and helping, correct?
So I am actually part of the movement. I slept here a few nights. I'm here every day, but I'm also, because I'm teaching as well. You know, when you're a PhD student, you're a student and you're a teacher at DA as well. So I'm also helping the faculty on the ground. But some faculty have been here actually every day supporting the students. But today there was a specific ask from the students in the encampment to bring as many faculty and staff to be here and to protect the encampment in case anything happens from the counter-protesters.
Have you been following how the media have been talking about the students and, labeling you guys as pro-Hamas? And I think Tom Cotton was today, I just saw him on Instagram saying, little Gazas. And he says it as if he's talking about rats, and he's talking about something so dirty, and he says little Gazas, although Gaza was a beautiful city.
Whoa. I know. I mean, clearly he's extremely ignorant, because it would be a privilege to have little Gazas all around the U.S. But I think, I mean, their speech is just extremely hateful, extremely ignorant. Students here are standing for what they believe in. They're standing for all the ideas and ideals that they learn about, which include justice and freedom for all people. So this depiction of protesters, being violent or being exclusionary or whatever, or anti-Semitic even, it's completely false, has really nothing to do with the reality on the ground. Any decent journalist or a decent politician who wants to see for herself or himself can really come and walk around. Students here are really, I've been here for more than a week now. We're organizing teach-ins. We're educating each other, not just on what's going on in Palestine, but what's happening in the Philippines, what's happening in this country as well. I think people are building a community as well, not just with students, but with, the neighbors of where we are. There's music, there's poetry reading. So, but it's also really not surprising how you us politicians are trying to paint a picture of us as the violent students or violent protesters. Because honestly, the students here are challenging the Israeli narrative, which the U.S. has been protecting for so long. The students are saying, we don't want our administration to be investing in companies that are in Israel, that are occupying Palestinians, that are facilitating their oppression in their land. Why should educational institutions, who are supposed to be the places where people, you know, navigate ideas, think together, write together, be actually involved heavily in arm manufacturing companies and really just inflicting violence in Palestine and elsewhere? And that scares them. I mean, this is the new generation. These are the students that will be in different positions in government, in academia, in the private sectors. And all the propaganda that the Israelis and the Zionists and their supporters that they've been building in the U.S. for the past decade is really crumbling, and it's scary for them. But the students here are undeterred. They know that they're on the right side of history, and they're going to keep speaking up.
They
for
keep,
Palestine and for the freedom of its people.
They keep wondering on Twitter, where I get a lot of you know, information, because all of the students are tweeting and sending films and are very, very active on social media. People started to say, where are these tents coming from? Who is financing these people? And you know that people in the media would say that actually the Daily Mirror tried to pass this in this article that terrorist groups are financing you, the Houthis, the Hezbollah, Hamas, God knows who. So, and the tents, and like, why all the tents look the same?
I mean,
and
honestly, Samar, it's laughable to accuse us of all these, you know, really, they're so silly. I mean, us here, we're laughing when we sit together and watch the news, because I mean, students are independent thinkers. They are independent actors. I mean, what's so difficult for people to understand that we don't want to participate in a genocidal machine? We don't want our government here in the U.S. to fund the genocide in Gaza. That we don't want to be part of this violence, actually, that it is very real on our people back home. I think it just goes back to my previous point, that they are so scared of the shift in the narrative that is happening, the students' actions, that they will undermine it in any way, even if they're going to accuse us of getting funding from X, Y, and Z. I mean, I've heard this accusation that all the tents are green. They must have been sent from someone. I mean, the community here is the community that's bringing us food. They are helping us set up the tents. They are the one bringing us water. I mean, we're also drinking the same water everywhere. Are they going to also accuse us of, you know, getting water from a specific group? I mean, I would say to that, if people really genuinely, with an open heart and mind, want to know what the students are all about, they should come to the campus. I mean, these encampments are open in most parts for everyone to come and engage and talk and learn. I mean, the government doesn't want to listen. They're shutting down the protests. They're exercising violence on protesters without really, I mean, now that all the conversation is shifting on the violence that the police is inflicting on students, as we should. But no one now is talking about, why are the students on the streets? Why are they occupying physical space? What is the message that started all of that? And it is to stop Israel's genocide in Gaza, that is funded by the U.S. I mean, without U.S. military and financial support, Israel wouldn't be able to be slaughtering Palestinians for 6 months, day in and day out. So, yeah, I think that's scary for many people, and that's why they want to paint us in this extremely deceitful, and it's a lie, basically, how they're trying to portray us.
And Ahmed, you can jump in any minute you want. But Samar, I want to ask you, and this is like the million-dollar question that people tend to ask me all the time, even in the Arab world. So what's going to happen? Like, how is this going to end? Is it going to go through the summer months? Is it going to go forever? What are you all talking about and discussing?
Yeah, I mean, it is a good question. I think there's some glimpses of hope, because some universities like Brown University are now actually negotiating with the students, and they're listening to them. And for instance, Brown is going to put a divestment vote, I think, by October. So I think that is a good indicator that some administrations are actually trying genuinely to engage with their students, to talk to them and see how they can translate these demands into concrete action. I mean, honestly, I can't tell you if the students here are going to stay or are going to leave, but from how things are shaping up, it seems that no one is planning on leaving. Even the people who, you know, have exams are trying to find ways to basically go take their exams and come back. I know that the year is almost over and some students are going to be leaving their dorms. But I think there's a big conversation as to how this movement can become even more inclusive of the larger community and to continue to basically exert pressure in government outside of U.S. campuses.
What about the rest of the students? Are they, I know that they come from several backgrounds, but again, if you listen to our media and our pundits, they will tell you Muslims, Palestinians, Arabs, yeah, and stuff like that. But I doubt very much. I know that from like looking at the students and their faces and everything, they're mainly Americans born here without any background being related to the Arab world.
No, I think your observation is absolutely right. I know we keep talking about diversity and inclusion, but it's really amazing and beautiful to see the different backgrounds, the different religions. I mean, as you said, you know, there are Jews that are central to this movement, Muslim, Christian. There are people from all backgrounds, all classes, all orientations. I mean, you really can. I just wrote an article saying that this is the future that I would love to be part of, you know, like representative. People are here because of a bigger ideal, which is freedom, which is justice. And in this case, it happens that we are demanding these two things for Palestinians. But, you know, you can see all sorts of struggles being talked about and centered: Sudan, Congo, Philippines, even from the past, you know, people are talking about South Africa, Algeria, the Vietnam War. So, and it shows, I mean, talking about all these struggles shows the diversity, I think, of the students, shows the diversity of their interests. And this generation, I mean, I'm a bit older than them, even though I'm a PhD candidate. It shows really that these students are reading. These students are interested in history. They're curious. They want to know. They don't want to be silent, you know, to the injustices that are happening around the world. So, yes, very diverse group. A lot of Americans, a lot of people with really no connection to the Arab world. Some of them have met Arabs and Palestinians for the first time. You know, they're learning, they're engaging, and the sense of community is just really, really remarkable.
Hi, if you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF. We're speaking live with Samar Saeed. She's a PhD student at George Washington University. She's in Washington, D.C. at the encampment that's happening now. These encampments are happening all over the country. Some are being violently dispersed. Others, you know, tension is growing. In other situations, they're allowing counter-protesters that are pro-Israeli to go in and agitate. I wanted to play Samar something that President Biden just said and get your reaction. Please listen to this if you can hear it.
Be clear about this as well. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America, violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest.
Summary, your reaction.
I'm not sure if Samar Said was able to listen. Were you able to listen, Samar?
Yeah, okay. For parts of it. Do you want me to respond?
Yes, I think Ahmed wants you to respond to what the president said.
Yeah, I mean, I must say that everything he said is an absolute lie. These are very peaceful protests. I haven't seen any violence happen on campuses except when the Zionist and Israeli counter-protesters try to infiltrate these spaces, provoke protesters, and they're the ones that are instigating the violence that the president and the officials and the media are centering at the moment. I mean, if you look across campuses, these encampments have been places of solidarity, places of coming together, places of demanding what any honorable, decent, free-loving people would demand, which is a divestment from companies that are slaughtering Palestinians in Gaza. And I mean, it's really not surprising, but also infuriating how the media keeps painting these protests as being violent. And I want to add that the president and these officials are very well aware of the violence and the horror that Israelis are inflicting on Palestinians and in Gaza and actually in the West Bank, in Jenin, in Tul Karim, in Nablus. So it's, they know. They even know a lot more than we do. And for them to come out and just lie and to accuse us of being violent is just really shameful and just goes to show that freedom of speech ends in this country when it comes to Palestine. It comes when it undermines or even threatens the Israeli narrative. And it's clearly that this is also a generational thing. I mean, look at who are accusing protesters of violence and anti-Semitism. It's mostly the older generation. But if you come here to the younger generation, they know. They're not buying the propaganda anymore. They see the injustices. They are seeing Palestinian bodies being crushed under Israeli tanks. They see him, the young girls, who one journalist referred to as a woman, I think, yesterday, calling for help, saying that she's trapped in a car with dead bodies. So it's very hard for us as the younger generation, for students to see these images and just sit and do nothing. And I think it's a testament to their strength and courage at this very important historical moment that we're living in.
Summer, why do you think the university authorities and all these politicians around the country, en masse, it's not just one or two places, everyone is mobilized to push back and mischaracterize these protests on campus and try to stop them? Why so much focus on this movement at the universities?
Well, I think for several reasons. First of all these universities are heavily involved in or their investments are very tied to companies of, military and arm manufacturing. So they don't want actually this information to be out in public. They don't want to be under scrutiny. And the students are forcing them to. Students have done the research. They know that their universities are investing millions of dollars in these violent armed companies, including Lockheed Martin and Boeing and others. And they're saying, you know, we are paying tuition money. We don't want to be part of this. I also think that the students are also just basically, what's the right word to use it? Really undermining this idea of Israel as, you know, the beacon of or the only democracy in the Arab world, as the place where rights are respected. They're showing that this is actually not true. And we shouldn't be sending our tax dollars money to an entity that is colonizing and implementing an apartheid system in Palestine, and more urgently now, genociding Palestinians in Gaza. There's also another element that, you know, a lot of the universities here in the U.S. have deep relationships with universities inside of Israel, and they share research on technology. And again, this technology is deployed against Palestinians inside of Palestine. So students are asking their administration to really boycott Israeli universities who are not only now aiding the occupation of Palestine, but some of these universities were established even before Israel came to being in 1948, and they were part of how the settler colonial project started in Palestine in the 1920s. So I think they're really, the administration is afraid. I mean, a lot of these donors are pro, a lot of the donors to these universities are also Israeli supporters, and they will go a far length basically to stop any movement that tries to bring all these issues that I mentioned to light.
Right. And it seems there are multiple fronts where they're also the media. It seems like everybody in the establishment, including the media, is trying to somehow mischaracterize this. There is this repeated message that Jewish students on campus feel unsafe. And this keeps getting repeated everywhere. But then when you ask how do they feel unsafe, what about it is making them unsafe? You don't get much further than that. They just feel unsafe, and they keep repeating that message. Meanwhile, as you mentioned earlier, at UCLA, there was this counter-protest where pro-Israel students actually physically assaulted and attacked and beat the pro-Palestinian anti-genocide students, and they beat them with, like, I don't know, bats and other things, and attacked them. And the police didn't do anything to intervene. So it just seems like the very same people that keep saying, hey, we feel unsafe, and this is threatening to us, and going as far as even in Congress, saying that the students that are chanting, the pro-Palestine students are chanting for the genocide of Jews, something that no one is actually saying. How are these encampments and how are you guys helping the students deflect and these attempts to mischaracterize these camps, or these encampments, as somehow anti-Semitic or genocidal, or all these smears that are being directed at the encampments and the students?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll first talk about the practical ways that the students here have been engaging with this. I think if you walk through the encampments around the different campuses, you'll see that they have very clear guidelines as to how to behave with agitators and outsiders who come to provoke actually a reaction from students. So there's a big and clear message that we don't engage. And the students, from what I've seen, have been amazing doing that. I've seen people come carrying the Israeli flag, accusing us of, you know, calling on the genocide of the Jews, and really no one engages in this rhetoric. We reject it. If anything, the leaders or part of the leadership in this movement are Jewish students who are front and center, saying not in our name. What is happening, what Israel is doing, does not represent us. And just because we're Jewish doesn't mean we are associated with Israel at all. And I think their voices are very important, because the media is trying to shape a narrative that says these protests are anti-Jews, and that Jews are not part of them, and that Jews are afraid. And again, this is a lie. I've met so many Jewish students here on campus, they are not on the sidelines of these movements, except that the media, or I don't want to even say all media, because we've had a lot of amazing media people around us interviewing anyone and showing actually the diversity. But I would say the mainstream Western media is trying to hide the fact that Jewish students are all over these encampments and they are visible. And I think that just goes to serve the larger narrative where we're not allowed to criticize Israel. We're not allowed to say anything, even when there's a genocide being committed. So, yeah, I think, you know, again, I would encourage these politicians and journalists to actually come and meet the protesters here. But I would also ask, why isn't anyone asking about the safety of Palestinian students, Arab students on campuses? I mean, right. We're here and we are being actually threatened for real. I mean, you mentioned the UCLA example, but also, I mean, students were shot at earlier on. I've heard so many stories from my friends here that, you know, a hijab has been pulled. They were spat at. I mean, what about us? You know, why is no one saying we need to keep Palestinian Arab students safe? You know, and it's also it goes to the steep racism in this country that, you know, values one group of people over another. And it's really unfortunate. But I need to center hope, to be honest, and say that at the encampment, Jews, Muslim and Christians, atheists, agnostics, are all here together, and they are united in their message against U.S. funding Israel's genocide in Gaza. And I think we really try to keep centering this message away from all the distraction.
Okay, well, Samar Saeed, thank you so much for joining us from George Washington University. Stay safe. And thank you for your courage and especially supporting the other students there on campus.
Yeah, thank you so much. And free Palestine.
Thank Inshallah. You so thank you so much, Samar.
Have a good one.
Thank you, you too.
Now we want to bring in Victoria Hinckley. She's a student at USF, University of South Florida, which is in Tampa, Florida. And she is one of the student organizers on campus there. And I had read somewhere that she may have been suspended. So, Victoria, welcome to True Talk. If you could unmute
Hi.
And join us. Hi.
How are
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing okay, as well as I could be right now.
Is it? Were you suspended from USF for your organizing?
Yeah, correct. I was a senior at USF. I was supposed to graduate this Saturday. And after Tuesday night, they sent an email to me with multiple student code of conduct charges placed against me by USF for organizing the Solidarity Encampment for Gaza, and saying that I was suspended from USF and trespassed from campus.
Oh, what are they alleging that you actually did that's so dangerous to strip you of this? So you spent 4 years, you spent all this money. You're a dedicated student, and now all of a sudden, what's their excuse?
They're alleging that students were being violent, that I was advocating for violence. They're alleging that I had weapons, that I was promoting the use of weapons. They're alleging that I was breaking rules by protesting on campus, and they're trying to say that I was going against conduct by standing up to this genocide and demanding that USF divest.
Oh my God.
We saw the images. We saw the images on our screens, the live footage that was happening. And any students have any weapons or promote any violence? The only violence we saw was coming from law enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. There was no violence from students. We remained stationary at our protests. We stayed in our circle. There was no escalation on the part of students. We stayed peaceful. We chanted. We held signs. We interlocked arms to protect our space and to protect people at the protests. The people that were there that were violent were the police. They brought in many jurisdictions of police. They brought in USFPD. They brought in the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. They brought in the state troopers. And lastly, they brought in hundreds of riot cops in SWAT gear with batons, with shields. They had cops with gas masks. So we knew that the cops were trying to escalate violence onto the students.
How many were you?
Which is exactly what they did.
How many were you?
Sorry?
How many were you, Victoria, like at that time? Weren't there any professors or anybody from the administration trying to stand between you, the students, and all this police force?
So the amount of students that was there, I would say, was about 70 to 80 students. There were some faculty and staff there. There was actually a staff member that was arrested. One of the three persons that was arrested on Monday was a USF staff member. We were able to bail them out of jail on Tuesday. But for the people that were there at the protest, we had faculty members and some professors there standing in solidarity trying to protect students. However, the USF administration, people like Dean of Students, Danielle McDonald, people like Winston Jones, who's a USF administrator, Matt Marshall, another USF administrator, they were not trying to keep students safe. They were trying to repress our right to free speech, our right to protest. They called in the cops. They allowed this violence to occur. They promoted this violence to occur, and they gave police the go-ahead to gas students, to shoot rubber bullets at students, and to brutally arrest and, assault students and community members that were there.
How many students were suspended?
I'm not sure on the exact number of students. I think from Monday, there was at least one student that was suspended. And from Tuesday, there were, I'd say, 4 to 5 students, including me, myself, part of Tampa Bay Students for a Democratic Society, and another member of that group.
Victoria, where did you grow up? And I mean, are you from Tampa? And what's your background? Are you affiliated or connected to the Middle East, to the Palestinians? And if you're not, why have you chosen to get involved in this and risk your education career?
Yeah, so I grew up in Tampa. I've lived in Tampa for about 13 years now. So I consider myself a Tampa local. I'm not Palestinian. I stand in complete solidarity with my Arab, Palestinian, Muslims, brothers and sisters. I feel so strongly for the people of Palestine. I've ever since I got involved with SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, you know, we're a very pro-Palestine group. We're a very anti-war group. So we have always been in solidarity with Palestine. We've always been demanding divestment from universities in the U.S., so when I joined, you know, I became informed on, you know, what it means for Palestine to be liberated, why students in the U.S. should be fighting for Palestinian liberation, and why we should be fighting for divestment. And, you know, what I've seen since October 7th and for the past 75 years in Palestine with the resistance, you know, I've seen nothing but courage and strength and solidarity from the Palestinian resistance as they're fighting against the Zionist occupation and their Zionist oppressors. So, you know, it gives me strength. Seeing the strength that the freedom fighters in Palestine are risking and are going through and, you know, coming out victorious. So it's giving me strength as a student here in the U.S. to continue the fight.
So when students call for and SDS calls for the liberation of Palestine, pro-Israel, you know, pundits and groups will say, well, oh, there you go. They're calling for the genocide of Jews. Is there a Palestine, a liberated Palestine, where there is where does that mean that something will happen to the Jewish population that's there? Can you clarify that? Because a lot of people try to misrepresent that.
Yes, definitely. You're 100% right. I think that, you know, a liberated Palestine means that Palestinians, Christians, Muslims, Jews of you know, Palestinians of any religious background living in peace in a free Palestine that is, you know, followed by the self-determination of Palestinians, you know, having jurisdiction over their ancestral homelands. The only, you know, what will happen with a free Palestine is that there will be no Zionists. You know, Jews and Muslims have lived in Palestine and in many other Arab countries in peace as neighbors. You know, there's many, many Palestinian Jews that are, you know, fighting for the liberation of Palestine. there's many other Jews that aren't Palestinian that are fighting for the liberation of Palestine, both in the Middle East and also in the U.S. So, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, religion. It's a matter of the Zionist oppressors and the Zionist state of Israel trying to, you know, control the Palestinian state, trying to commit a genocide against the Palestinian people. So I think that, you know, in a free Palestine, you know, anyone is welcome if they are, you know, willing to allow for Palestinians to dictate what happens in their ancestral homelands, which is the only right thing to do.
You are making a distinction between a Zionist and Jewish people. You're saying you're against the Zionist ideology and its oppressive, you know, apartheid regime that's in Israel, but not against the Jewish communities, and there are a lot of Jewish people that are not Zionists. Can you clarify that or speak to that?
Yes. Definitely. You know, I think it's a tool that the Zionist state of Israel tries to use, that they say, you know, Zionism and Judaism is the same thing. This is not true at all. Judaism is a peaceful religion that many peaceful people follow, including Palestinians and, you know, many other people that follow that religion. Zionism is a genocidal ideology calling for the genocide of Palestinians and for an ethnostate, which is not correct. You know, it's actually really harmful. A lot of Jewish people think Zionism is very hard, harmful to the Jewish community, because it tries to equate Judaism, you know, their religion, with Zionism, which, you know, shouldn't be equated, as, you know, they don't agree that their religion should follow something that is genocidal, such as Zionism.
If you're just joining us, if you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM. We're talking to a student from USF. Her name is Victoria, and she was suspended. I'm curious, Victoria, to know if there is any way you can graduate on Saturday. Like, did you to contact a lawyer? Is there a way that you can like petition this decision? Is there evidence? Is there like a camera footage or any alibi that supports the claim of the university against you? Because like Ahmed said, 4 years of studying and you're so close to graduating, and to be suspended, this is a very, very serious matter. Is there any due process that you can go, any route that you can go where you can graduate on Saturday?
Yeah, so for right now, as I said, I'm suspended from campus. I'm trespassed from campus. I'm not allowed to be at any student activities of that sort. But I do have my student code of conduct hearing on Friday. So that's tomorrow at 4 p.m. So we are going to be calling in to USF. We're going to be calling into the USF president. We're going to be calling into the USF Office of Student Code of Conduct to demand that my suspension be lifted, that they demand that the trespass be lifted and these conduct charges be dropped, and demand that I'm able to graduate with my degree on Saturday, as, you know, is only right. So we're going to be organizing around that. So everyone listening, please, if you're able to call in, look for the flyer and the script and the numbers to call on the Instagram Tampa Bay SDS for that information. So, yeah, we are planning on fighting. We're not going to go down without a fight. Any evidence, you know, any camera footage, because there's lots of videos, there's lots of camera footage, both from like us and from USF, from the police. All of that video footage only affirms the fact that students were remaining peaceful, and police escalated violence onto students. And they threw tear gas at a peaceful protest. They threw tear gas and shot rubber bullets and beat people with batons and arrested people for remaining in a peaceful protest.
And I want to ask you, Victoria, what's the plan for the students? Are you still encamped there? Are you still planning to go ahead and keep pushing until USF talks to you and tries to divest from these companies? What are your plans?
So we are... Students and community members are deciding that right now. We're trying to unite as many students and as many community members around the student intifada to defend the student intifada going on in Tampa and all across the country right now. So stay on the lookout for, again, our the updates for any future encampments will be posted on the Instagram at Tampa Bay SDS on Instagram. And so we don't plan on backing down. You know, the response from USF, you know, they want us to back down. They were trying to get us to back down based on the violence that was showed yesterday and on Monday. But, you know, this isn't making students or community members back down. This is riling people up. People are mad that, you know, they're going to these lengths to try to suppress a Palestine protest. So they know that we're, you know, on the right side of history. And, you know, we're not going down without a fight. We're not going down until USF administration listens to our demands and until USF divests from genocide.
I want to thank you, Victoria, so much for being on True Talk, and I wish you all the best with your graduation. And we're going to be taking a very, very short break, and Ahmed and I will be like wrapping up this show. This is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM. Welcome back to True Talk. These young people, Ahmed, are sometimes interesting to listen to. We have a couple of emails. We have one email from Betty, and she says, I totally agree with you and your callers. This horrible war has to end. Bibi needs to be in the something. I can't feel, maybe in, I can't see it. I don't know why the screen is so big. Okay, so Ahmed, any wrapping thoughts? Because like when I am on Twitter, people say this is the land of democracy, this is the land of free speech. They keep preaching to us that you who live in the Arab world don't have freedom of speech. You don't, you know, you don't have ability to demonstrate. I know that young people can be, you know, too excited with the slogans they do. But at the same time, I think Bill of Rights allows people to peaceful demonstration. Isn't that correct? My co-host.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to agree with everything that they're, you know, the speech that they're saying, but they definitely have a right to free speech as guaranteed in the Constitution. By the way, I think the next step that they're actually doing at USF is that they're going to have the Friday prayer, Jum'ah prayer, at USF at the same plaza where they did the, you know, the MLK plaza on campus. So if you're interested, you could join them. And they're actually calling on people who are not going to pray the Jum'ah prayer. Jum'ah prayer is basically the Friday service for Muslims. It's normally done at the mosque, but in solidarity with Gaza, they're going to do it at the MLK Plaza tomorrow, I believe at 1:30. And they're asking for community members who are not praying to come out and protect them while they perform this prayer. It's about a 30 to 45 minute long service, and they'll have some commentary then. So if you could join them, go ahead and do that. Somehow I was surprised that a young white American that grew up in Tampa is saying that she supports the resistance against the Zionist state in Israel. That's even more than some other people are willing to say or do say. So I think some people try to mischaracterize what they're doing, that that means automatically that they want to annihilate Israel. However, they're saying it's actually, we're doing Jum'ah 4 p.m. It's 4 p.m. prayer, sorry. It's not 1:30. So MLK Plaza tomorrow, 4 p.m. Okay. So that's why I wanted her to clarify that it wasn't against the Jewish community and that they can coexist. So I think we need to get more clarification on that. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, actually, I'm watching the News 9 and the police brutality is unbelievable. We're getting several emails except for one, all of them supportive of the students and actually are asking Victoria to get lawyers and be lawyered up and do something about it. I want to thank you, Ahmed, for being on Through Talk, and WMNF Tampa, The Scoop is next.